Amen. Thank you, team. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Now, communion always makes it more difficult for me to finish on time. You would think, well, I know it's Communion Sunday, so I should shorten my sermon, right? Well, that would make too much sense. I'm not going to go there. So, hopefully I will finish up in time. We're going to move quickly. I might go over a little bit. Don't hold it against me. Okay, we are Team Jesus, and we are taking up our cross for Christ. This is our mindset. This is our focus for this year. We are to be a team. It takes all of us to accomplish the Great Commission, and each one of us to take up our cross. And we're going to be learning more and more about that as the year goes. But we started a new series. We finished up 2 Peter, and we started a little series, 4-week series, before we begin the next book of the Bible that we will work verse by verse through. This little series we're doing is called Truth in a Truth-Denying World. The world is going insane. It is thinking crazy things. Now they're trying to tell us what we have to think. I will show you that here in a second. So what we're going to do in this little series is understand what truth really is, because the world has its own version or many versions of the truth. But for us, truth is the thought, statement, or opinion that lines up with reality. Truth is true for all people in all places and all times. Truth does not change ever. The same truth they had in the first century is the same truth we have today. Next 4 Sundays, we're going to be discussing this. Last week, we looked at the main problem. The main problem of why people are thinking such crazy things today. The main problem is this. There is no authority but yourself today. People go with their feelings. They're following their heart. What they feel is true for them. May not be true for you, but it's true for them. And that's okay. And everyone can have their own truth. Feelings have become our authority. Happiness is the goal. Judging is the ultimate sin, and God is the ultimate guess. It's okay to be spiritual. It's okay to believe in God, as long as you don't believe in that God of the Bible. And you don't believe the Bible. How did we get here? Well, this is really affecting the younger generations, but it's hitting all the generations. There's older generations that are believing this way too. But I'm going to put the blame on the older generation for today. Why are the younger generations falling for this? Because the older generations before it failed. And this is all going all the way back into the 1800s. In the late 1800s, there was a movement in this country, and it took the country by storm, called spiritualism. Ouija boards and seances. It worked our way through, even into the White House. And the church did not come against it as a whole. From that point on, our culture started to slide away from God. By the 1920s, the roaring 20s, it was boozing it up. And the sexual revolution actually began. And by the 60s, it was out in the open. Today, we're going to look at the consequences of the main problem. This is not going to be a politically correct message. I don't want it to be mean. It's not mean-spirited. Every wicked person or wicked thing I show you, God loves those sinners. And we used to be sinners too. We've been saved by the grace of God, and that's the only difference between them and us. We are not here to judge them in a hypocritical, judgmental way, but we do need to stand for the truth. So let's look at the consequences of going with your feelings. You can have your own truth. That reality changes depending on the circumstances and who is in that situation. me show you a book called Untamed. It's a New York bestseller. It is a story of how one woman learned that a responsible mother is not one who solely dies for her children, but one who shows them how to fully live. It is a story of navigating divorce, forming a new blended family, and discovering that the brokenness or wholeness of a family depends not on its structure, but on each member's ability to bring her full self to the table. Now, if you know this story, this author, her husband was not a good guy. I'll give her that. But she wasn't a good girl either. She leaves her husband for a lesbian relationship. And she has come to the decision that she needs to live for herself. She needs to be her authentic self, meaning embrace the sinfulness of who she is. She doesn't see it as sin, but she's embracing the condition of her own heart, what her own heart wants and feels, and she thinks she should live for herself. The most loving thing she can do for her children is not to serve them and raise them and take care of them, but for her to live her life for herself and give that lesson to her kids that the kids need to live for themselves. That's the most loving thing she can do. Next slide, Levi. It's a story of how each of us can begin to trust ourselves enough to set boundaries, make peace with our bodies, honor our anger, I'm not even sure what that means, and heartbreak, and unleash our truest, wildest instincts. Go with your feelings, go with your desires, and we know the human heart is evil. Without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, our heart will run wild. And that's what she's saying, embrace. That's what she's teaching her children. Next slide, Levi. Now that this view of self has triumphed, we should not be surprised that so many people agree with this statement. To find yourself is to look into yourself. In summary, trust yourself, follow your heart. You are authentic and good at your core, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. What does God tell us about ourselves? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But you don't let anyone tell you that. God is within you, and this means you have the power to unleash your unlimited potential to be whoever you want to be. I'm getting some feedback. I don't know if these mics need to be turned down a little bit. So we got this idea of self. It's destroying families, telling people to live for themselves. But it's got other consequences. Next slide. Man who spent 19,000, I think, pounds to become a wolf just wants to be free of human relationships. This is not the only one. There are many who are starting to rate, they feel like they're an animal. And so they dress up as animals. Some take it this serious. Another man I heard has his wife walk him around the neighborhood as a dog. They feel like they're animals. There's another group called the furries. They're listed as furries. They're mostly young adult men, and they feel like they are animal cartoon characters, and they dress up as furries. This is their reality. This is their truth. Next seems kind of harmless, some people say. I don't know. How would you feel like a man in a dog suit came into your yard and relieve himself? Would you feel it's not? But here's another consequence. Next slide. The drag queens. Again, I'm not showing this to shock you. We've all seen this stuff. It's happening. It's out there. It's in the White House. It's being fully embraced. Men claiming to be women. Next slide. 50 years ago, or even less, someone that was in drag was coming around children, that person would be arrested. But now we're bringing our children to them. And the videos that I've seen, and I'm sure some of you have seen, and it is insane what they are doing around children. Insane. Evil. What do you think that's doing to that little child's mind that's trying to develop? It's inside churches too. Some of the videos I've seen from inside churches. And you know, what the consequences here, it's not just out in the world, it's inside the churches, many of them. Many of the churches in America have left their Lord and Savior and have become corrupted and worldly. Consequences. Sexual perversion. Here's another one. Anti-religious bigotry. Nebraska Democrats' bill would ban kids from vacation Bible schools, church youth groups. So the Democrat here pushing this bill was like, well, if you have a problem with kids going to drag shows, it's just as bad as taking them to youth group. Where have we come when a church youth group is considered to be on the same level as a drag show? So if you don't support taking kids to drag shows, then we won't support or we'll try to take your right to go to church. Another consequence, gender-neutral bathrooms and dressing rooms. This is just insane. Can't come up with a better word than that. I'm sorry. All this stuff is insane. So you'll probably hear me say insane, insanely a lot. I don't even know how to... That it's okay for a man to go into a woman's dressing room? A young lady just posted a video about 2 weeks ago. 17-year-old young lady in a YMCA here in California. She had worked out. She had gone in the women's dressing room to shower. When she came out of the shower, there is a man undressing. Fully biological male, but he identifies as female. She was alone with that male in the locker room. She ran back into the shower, hid behind the little curtain while he took his shower. She was terrified. And she's spoke out against it, and she's being attacked. This is just gone insane. Critical race theory. We are reverting back to judging each other by skin color. You know, the Bible says we're all from one blood. You really believe the Bible? Then Adam and Eve are all, we're all related. If you trace the family tree back far enough, we're all related. The Bible says we come from one blood. Why are we looking at something so ignorantly stupid as skin color? Ethnic type. You're going to have to guard your heart. I'm going to talk more about this in the next 2 weeks. But you're being attacked. If you're not on board with them, you're racist, you're homophobic. It doesn't really matter. Black people can be racist against black people and white. It's just insane. But we're all from one blood. You know, that's why I love babies. Luke is our little baby Luke is in the nursery. But you know what's amazing about babies? Have you ever listened to them cry? Do you know you can take a baby from Iran, a baby from America, a baby from Ireland, a baby from Africa, a baby from Brazil, and you put them in a room, and what they all sound like? They sound exactly the same. Critical race theory, where now we're supposed to judge each other according to our skin. LGBTQ pride. Another consequence. I'll show you that here in a second from Scripture. But here's something. Christian charity worker faces potential jail time fine after speaking about leaving LGBT. Now this is over in Spain, over in Europe. But we have conversion therapy laws, or what should we say, anti-conversion therapy laws in this state, in our country, where you can't really tell someone to come out of that lifestyle is wrong and you need to come out of it. As the Bible says, or conversion. Go from a sinner to a saint by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come out of your sinful lifestyles. They didn't make the step so bold in the law that they came against pastors. That's common. Right now it's just therapists and psychologists. You can't help someone come out. It's against the law here in California. Sooner or later, they're going to come after the pastors and the churches. They already are. I'll show you that here in a second. But we're losing the consequences of this ideology is that you can't judge them. They can judge you, but you can't judge them. We talked about this last week. So we're losing our freedom of speech in this country. Dangerous precedent set here. Young Georgia cop has to resign basically after suspension for religious Facebook post on gay marriage. This is a believer. He doesn't believe in what the world is saying about marriage. He lets God define what marriage is, and that's what we all should do. He wrote in his post, in the article, it says he was investigated by his police force for his religious social media posts. Don't we have free speech in this country? Don't we have the freedom of religion? Why is he being investigated then? He said in his post, God designed marriage. That is true. And God designed marriage as a mystery to point us to Christ in our relationship as the church with Him. There's a reason He designed marriage the way He did. He points this out in his post. Marriage refers to Christ and the church. That's why there's no such thing as homosexual marriage. That's true. According to this. And he was investigated, targeted, and lost his job. Go back one slide. Back one slide there. I forgot to read at the bottom. It says that his major in his police command reminded him that same-sex marriage is legal in Georgia and the U.S. following the 2015 Supreme Court decision. All right, let me be very clear. Man can justify and legalize whatever sin and wickedness he wants to. It doesn't change the fact that God said His law, it's wrong. And we are to repent of that. And the Bible even says, and it lists all these sexual bad things, and what's so beautiful in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were justified. You were sanctified. Man can legalize whatever sinful things he wants to do. It doesn't change the fact that God has already said that it's wrong. I just wanted to touch on that. All right, go to the next slide, Levi. Next slide. All right, here we go. First Baptist Church, not us, faces backlash on biblical sexuality pledge for its congregation. This is in Florida. Now, get this. You know, when the homosexual movement really started moving towards, started coming out in the 70s, started taking a little root in the 80s, by the 90s, it's in your face. And they were telling us, as believers, as the church, you can have your beliefs as long as you don't make them public. You just keep that belief inside your churches. And a lot of churches, a lot of Christians said, okay, we won't voice what is true out there in the world. But, you know, they said basically, stay out of the public square with that. Keep it to yourself and we'll all get along. And a lot of the churches and a lot of Christians said, okay. But you see, that's just one. They got what they wanted. They got the dominant opinion and voice out there in the world. But they had never planned to stop there. Now they're telling us inside our churches what we can think and what we can't. You should have seen the backlash and what people were saying about this pastor and this church. And they didn't do it in a mean way. They're just saying, listen, we're standing on God's word. The exact same word we stand on, the exact same positions we take. Consequences of this ideology. Here's the next one. The gender dysphoria, the gender confusion. Okay? Many testimonies of people coming out of this, and it's real, people are dealing with this. But there's reasons they're dealing with it. And many people now have navigated through this gender dysphoria and come out on the other side, and they realize how much they were lied to about this, how much they were set up. And there's just gut-wrenching testimonies of the pain and the suffering that they went through because of the lies of gender dysphoria. And now they've come out on the other side and they wish they had never listened to people who said they could be another gender. But guess what? Most of those testimonies are being hidden on Google and YouTube, and it's hard. Facebook will remove them, but they're out there. They're out there. But most of the time, their testimonies are shut down or removed from social media platforms, and then they are vilified. You see, you got to get on board with their ideology, the one you can't judge for yourself. And if you don't, you will be vilified. Play.
Should transgender rights trump religious beliefs? Dr. David Makarev joins us from Birmingham. Very good morning to you. What is the religious belief which stops you using the chosen pronoun of those who have transitioned?
Well, I think we have to start by recognizing how important pronouns are within our language. This is a complete change in the way we use them. And even if we leave the religious factor out, we have a problem that by changing the way we use pronouns, we completely change who we are as a society and who we are as people. And it doesn't just affect a small group of people, it affects every single one of us. But as a Christian, I believe that to use pronouns in that way is dishonest. And I cannot do that in a good conscience.
Oh, but let me ask you, what is the pronoun that you object to? Because if somebody born biologically male transitions to be female, why would you not respect that? Why would you not just call them she?
Okay, the sound quality was poor, but I understand the question to be, if somebody has transferred from being male to female, why could I not also change my use of pronouns? The answer is, I don't believe that a person can change sex. I don't believe a person can change gender, and that sex and gender are the same thing.
Do you understand that that makes you a bigot?
Define bigot for me.
A bigot is somebody woefully intolerant of people who go through an extraordinarily long and painful...
We don't have time to go through the whole video. It's on Google, YouTube. You're a bigot. Now, that gentleman goes on to defend the gospel. He defends the biblical truth the best he can. And Pierce Morgan is just attacking him. But that's okay. The world hated Jesus. Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. It's just something we're going to have to accept. We'll talk more about this next week in the solution that we'll be talking about. Pro-life. Country used to have pro-choice and pro-life. And, you know, they yell at each other, but, you know, everyone could believe the way they wanted to on this subject. Not anymore. If you stand for pro-life, you are an extremist, a right-wing extremist, and you're probably a white supremacist, whatever color your skin is, and you're a terrorist. Let me show you. Everybody here, Tony Dungy, famous football player and coach, black man, but a Christian, our brother in Christ. He said that he was going to attend the March for Life. That's his right to do as an American citizen under the Constitution of the United States of America. But they came out. Claws and teeth ready, ripping this man's, calling him all sorts of things. And in the article about this Tony Dungy, when he decided, they immediately list him as a right-wing extremist. This was on ESPN and other places, newspapers. White-wing terrorism, in this article about Tony Dungy, commonly refers to the use or threat of violence by subnational or non-state entities whose goal may include racial, ethnic, religious supremacy. If we say Jesus is the only way, they see that as racial or religious supremacy. Not like where Islam and others are trying to conquer people and force it on them. We don't force this on anybody. But we will say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father through me. And I will say, on the authority of God's Word and on the truth, there is no other way to God. You have to be born again. That's not religious supremacy. It is the truth. Opposition to government authority. How many of you think the government's too big? All right, you're a right-wing extremist. What, we should want a government so big it controls everything we do? That's what a lot of people want. And the end of practice like abortion. So now if you're anti-abortion, you're pro-life, now you are a right-wing terrorist. Right-wing terrorism includes all these things. They're using this terminology to set up, just like Hitler did with the Jews. And I'm not like, oh, poor Christians, we're under persecution. I'm not saying that. It's the reality. It's what's happening. You better be ready for it. There's a price for being truthful to the Lord in this life. And they are demonizing us. They are vilifying us for our God-given authority and beliefs from His Word. Okay, that's fine. I hope you're ready. Right-wing terrorists generally criticize the Democratic state for its liberal social welfare policies and tolerance of diverse opinion. Everything I just pointed to you is what they're talking about. So, according to them, just what I've shown you so far, I am a right-wing terrorist. Next slide. Feds now say right-wing extremists responsible for majority of deadly terrorist attacks last year. Look what it says there. Its data showed that white supremacists and other white-wing extremists. So if they call you a white-wing extremist, they're technically saying you are a white supremacist. Tony Dungy, a black man, is a white supremacist in their way of thinking. Right-wing terrorism, next slide, commonly referred to, and I've already read it to you, opposition to the government and the practices of abortion. Insane again. We're losing our freedoms. As a country slides away from God, you start to lose your freedoms, folks. Study world history. That's why our founders said, our Creator, we have rights because our Creator gave them to us. But when you slide away from that Creator, when you reject that Creator, you're rejecting your own basis for having freedom. Anyway, I got to keep going. I'm running out of time. Pro-life activists. That Attorney General right there, I'll say this, he is a criminal. He should be impeached and put in prison for things he has been doing. Unconstitutional, ugly, evil, power hungry. He sent SWAT team of FBI agents to raid a house of a father who pushed a protester away from his son because the protester was verbally attacking his son and getting in his face, son, and he pushed him away. But that rates a SWAT team with weapons drawn, busting in your house with your 6, 7 kids there and your wife, dragging you out in handcuffs and threatening to throw you in prison for 10 years. But last week he was acquitted. It's a scare tactic. It's the government saying you Christians are getting a little too mouthy. We told you, keep your stuff in your churches. Keep it to yourself. Lawlessness in America. That's another consequence. We all know about lawlessness, right? Every category of crime is going up. Gun violence, though. I had to touch on this. Newsom, our governor, said that the root cause of violence are the guns. Gun violence is caused by the guns. Not the human heart of the person holding the gun. But he says the guns are the cause of gun violence. Now, many of us in this congregation have CCWs. We carry weapons every day of our lives. And we do no violence, do we? It's the human heart. They don't want to deal with that because you can't judge somebody's heart. Remember? That's their ideology. Go with your feelings. He's also put forth legislation this last week. He's going to announce it, that he's going to make every public area in California a gun-free zone. And I have to touch on this. I'm not trying to be political here. Think about this. And the note at the top of the number one on the, in the article was churches. So any place you go, store, restaurant, grocery store, church, he's going to make it by law that no guns are allowed in those places. And that just solves everything, doesn't it? So law-abiding citizens will obey the law and they won't have their firearms to protect themselves. But the bad guy, the crazy guy who wants to shoot up a place, when he comes to a public place and it says gun-free zone, he just packs up and goes home, doesn't he? No, he walks in because there's no resistance. Governor Newsom, I'm saying it right now, is evil to put forth a legislation that as a church, we can't defend ourselves. That we have to be in here or anywhere, and law-abiding citizens are not allowed to defend themselves. This law doesn't stop the crazies from doing what they do. This just puts law-abiding citizens in harm's way. It's evil. Climate change is another consequence. Show you a video. Go.
At least 8 times in the past million years, it has advanced and retreated with clockwork regularity. If we are unprepared for the next advance, the result could be hunger and death on a scale unprecedented in all of history. What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
Click. All right. There's more to that video. You can go online and look at it. Leonard Nimoy, 1979, saying that the grandchildren of his generation, the scientists are saying, more likely are going to be in an ice age. The grandchildren of Leonard Nimoy, that age group, is us. See, scientists were saying, climate, ice age, global cooling, ozone layers, ice age is coming. Well, we don't seem to have ice around us. But now it's global warming, climate change. It's a way to make people fear. And when you have people afraid, you can control them and you can make money. It's a scam, folks. They're controlling your lives for climate change. What are they telling us? 10 years, 12 years, the world's going to be dead? That was even a couple years ago. So we're even closer. But it's just like 1979. By the time your grandchildren, you better be afraid. You better stop doing what we tell you, because by the time your grandchildren are growing up, they're going to be in an ice age. Well, that never happened. None of it ever happens. But it's a way to control you and to make money. They're scams. Oh, man. Next slide. Everybody know who this guy is? Is he conservative? No. But he actually uses his brain more than most liberals. I'll give him that. I mean, I don't listen to him. I hear something every once in a while, something he says. But look at this. Bill Maher trends on Twitter, getting slammed for being too right-wing. The embassy host said Maher was just another example of a right-wing, reactionary white man. That sounds pretty racist, doesn't it? Now, if Bill Maher is right-wing, what does that make someone like me? All right, why is this happening? And I'm almost done, folks. I'm going to speed this up. Why is this all happening? The consequences, again, it's because of there is no authority. This is the ideology. This is what it's causing in our society and around the world. And because people are choosing to walk away from God, to ignore God, to ignore the truth, and to come up with their own truth, God lays it out in His Scripture. I'm going to quickly go through this. Here we go. Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that is us, even as eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because although they knew God existed, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful for His creation, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened even more. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools in the eyes of God, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, verse 24, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature themselves rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason, since they want to worship themselves and not God, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's why they don't want us out there saying God says, they don't want to hear it. You know, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Debased means worthless, reprobate, morally unprincipled, one who is predestined to damnation. See, without God, we have no hope, folks. Without God coming into our lives and helping us see the truth, we will continue down a path that destroys us. And these people have free will. God never forces His way to anybody's life. He calls to us. He beckons. He gives us evidence of the truth. But people want what they want. And God finally turns them over to this debased mind. And that's why we see what we see all around us. That's why our society is collapsing. And it's worldwide. It's the Romans 1 judgment. God has turned people over and now their minds just don't work like they should. Because they've been turned over to the base mind, they are filled, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. Romans 1, verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, for the wages of sin is death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They know the truth deep down inside. Everybody does. Why are atheists so angry that someone believes in something they don't believe in? Because deep down inside they know there's a God. And when people are out there talking about God, it scares them. So they get angry. There is no God. There is no truth. If you don't agree with this, you better shut your mouth because we're going to vilify you. We're going to come after you. I'm going to end right there. I'm not ending, but we're going to stop right there. But I want to leave you with something good. The consequences, it's not a good thing to look at. It's depressing. But here, next week we'll go over the solution. The solution is good. So come back next week. But here, I want to leave you with this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let that soak in. World's telling us there is no truth. Whatever is your truth is what... No, there's a truth. And Jesus is that truth. Hold on to that. Jesus is the truth. The Bible is the truth. God tells us and all people everywhere to turn from the silliness, the wickedness of denying His truth. And look what He says, and this is beautiful. Hold on to this. Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. All those people that I showed in those slides, God loves them all. And He'll forgive all of them if they'll return to Him. Turn from their wickedness. Turn from their own truth. And turn to the truth. The way. The life. Jesus Christ. And we are to help them find that. Oh, they're going to hate us for doing that. Yeah. Well, how do we respond to that? I'll show you that in the next two sermons. Come back. Truth in a truth-denying world. Team, come on up because we got to sing a song. Because we can't go out of here with all that negative stuff. We got to have something positive, right? The world is choosing not to believe in the truth. Choosing to ignore the truth. But we at First Baptist Church of Reading, and I hope many other Christian churches, faithful churches around the world, we will not let go of the truth. We will hold on to the truth of the Word of God. We will continue to share the truth. We will not be silent. We will continue to believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God. We will continue to believe in the Word of God. We will continue to believe in the love of God for all people, saved and unsaved. God loves everybody. And if we really believe what we believe, then we will warn people. That's love. It's not hate. It's not being a bigot. We believe they're going to be judged. God says He's going to judge them. We believe that. So if we really hated them, we wouldn't tell them. We'd just let them get judged. But we don't. It's not hate. It's love. We choose to believe. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we this day before You, stand before You. We believe. We believe in You. We believe in Your Word. We believe in Your Son that You sent to die for the sins of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit of God who brings dead sinners back to life. Lord, we believe. And we know You have commanded everyone to repent. So everyone needs to be told that, whether they want to hear it or not. And we believe that, and we commit to doing that. And we commit ourselves into Your hands. The world hated You. It's going to hate us for this. But it's the price we need to pay. That's the price. Let us pay it, Lord. If one will come to faith through our persecution, our suffering, our sacrifice. Because that's just small compared to what You went through. But if we can sacrifice and suffer in any way to point people to Your greater sacrifice, that would be our honor and our privilege, Lord. We love You, Lord. We choose to believe. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Let's sing.
We believe in this broken.
Amen. All right, Team Jesus, we're about to go on the playing field of the world, taking up our cross, be salt and light, show love. I know they say it's not love, it's hate, it's bigotry, it's not. I'll go over more of that next week. The solution to the problem. Okay? Also, someone go to the nursery and children's church and apologize again for me for going over. All right? We're going to blame it on the ushers during communion because they always walk so slow. You know, and like, speed it up, guys. It's true. True. All right, team. Let's break out of here. Motivated, excited to go live out this week for our Lord. If He can use us, let Him use us. All right? So let's break out of here. One, on the count of three. One, two, three. Three. Let's go.